We begin Chamisha Chumshei Torah all over again. Let's begin. Bereshis Boro Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Es Haaretz. First Rashi in the Torah is Ramchol's favorite Rashi, correct? The first Rashi is Amrav Yitzhak Lo Hayotzach Lahasil Es HaTorah Ela Me'achoydesh Hazeh Lochem Shehi Mitzvah Rishonah Shenitzavu Bo Yisrael. It would have been correct for the Torah to begin with Parshas Bo. Towards the end of Parashas Bo, we learn about the first mitzvah. Torah literally means instruction. Instruction. So what is the instruction? The instruction is what we should do, the Taryag mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that we are commanded to do. Chumash Bereshis, and the first section of Chumash Shemois, is a history book. It's telling us the history of the world, the history of the Jewish people, and only later do we get to the mitzvahs in the middle of Chumash Shemois. So why then did the Torah begin with Chumash Bereshis? To tell us about the history and the creation of the world. So Rashi says his famous words, Uma tam posach b'bereshis, mishum koyach ma'asav higid li'am. Hashem wanted to reveal the power of his actions to his nation. Loseis lohem nachalas goyim, to give to them the inheritance of the nations of the world. And what does that mean? She'im yoimu. Rashi now begins, if it will happen. If it will happen, if the nations of the world say to the Jewish people, you are listim, shekivashtem, artsois shivas goyim, you have conquered the lands of the seven nations, referring to Eretz Yisrael, heim, oimim lohem, they will respond, kol oretz shalakadosh baruch hu, that's not so. Look at Chumash Bereshis. It is Hashem who has created the world, hu bira'ah, He has created the world unisana and has given it lasher yoshar beinav, beritzayna nasna lohem. With his will, he gave it to the nations of the world. Beritzayna nidla mehem, he took it away from them. Vinit nalon, who has given it to us. That concludes the first Rashi of the Torah. I just want to mention three small points. Okay, not major points, just three short ideas on this Rashi. Number one, the goyim will come to Klal Yisrael, and we see this today. And they'll say to us, you are listim. Today, 21st century, this new translation for the word listim, it means occupiers. Right? New translation. The translation of the Palestinian, the Oxford Palestinian dictionary says, listim means occupiers. You've conquered, you've stolen land that does not belong to you, you abandoned. The question is, what are you talking about? Kachi dargoy shel oilam. America was stolen, was conquered from the Indians, right? We're living on occupied land, are we not? Who occupied this territory? Who lived in this territory that was in Brooklyn before the British, before all the colonies?
The Native Americans.
Now let me ask you, I don't know if what I'm saying is right, but I'm willing to bet you that the Indians probably stole it from whoever was here before them. There was probably someone who lived in this territory before the Native Americans came. And it was probably someone that lived before the ones who lived here before. Hagoynev and Aganev. Hagoynev and Aganev is Potter. Kachi, every single country in this world at one point in time was conquered by a superpower, by someone stronger than them. Kachi dargoy shel oilam. So what are they saying to us that we're listing? They're listing. Anyone who says to us that look at your own history. Where did the land that you're living on? Where did it come from? Who did you steal it from? Who did you conquer it from? So what will you say? The hypocrites? Is that the answer? The hypocrites? Maybe. Maybe that's a good answer. The hypocrites. They're liberals. They're hypocrites. Is that the answer? Maybe. It's a satisfactory answer. They don't care. They don't care. They're blind. When it comes to the hatred of the Jew, anti-Semitism, the halacha biyadeinu esav soine Yaakov. Okay, so being a hypocrite is not a kasha. That probably is the simple answer. But is that the only answer? Or perhaps there's something deeper. Perhaps the answer, I'm just saying, just a thought, a machshav. Perhaps the answer is, the goyim say, that is correct. We are living on territory that we have taken by force. And indeed, in the world, In the world, this is acceptable. That's the way the world works. The world works. The world works that one nation, if they have a need, they're allowed to conquer territory. That's the way the world is set up. But we recognize that you, the Jews, are holy people. You're holy people. And we recognize that you have higher standards. And what is permissible for us is not permissible for you. Just like we have in Chazal tell us that a person who is a leader, a Rav, a Rebbe, a Rosh HaYeshiva, it's a Feirush HaGemara. What may be technically permissible for the common man is forbidden for a rabbi, someone who is distinguished, because they, the tzibur, demands more from their leaders. They demand that they be on a higher, exalted spiritual level. And thus, the Torah, in essence, is beginning, the first pasuk, the whole Chumash Bereishis, is beginning with the Shevach, the praise of Klal Yisrael. What's wrong?
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that the Goyim recognize us as having higher standards. It's a way of haunting us and saying, you call yourself the chosen people, so you're supposed to have higher standards.
Right, it's all the same. I don't think what I'm saying is doing well. Okay, just a matter of vocabulary. It's just a matter of words, vocabulary, and expressing the idea. But the idea is that the Torah begins with a recognition, and this is common. Chil Hashem. You go on the subway, and there's a firm person. You can spot a firm person a mile away.
Obviously, we live in a goldfish bowl.
You can see a firm person a mile away, and a guy, it's 100% true, has higher expectations of a Jew than of their own kind. They see a Jew behave in a certain way. That's not the way a Jew is supposed to behave. We can behave like that. But you do something like that's not proper for a Jew. That in and of itself is the Kiddush Hashem. In the Musar that the Goyim are giving us, in and of itself is a very great praise to Klal Yisrael. And it's a demand, it's Musar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was beginning the Torah by telling us, Klal Yisrael, there are high expectations I have from you. The Goyim, even though this is what they do, they conquer, they kill, they conquer, they take over territory, but you should understand that the world knows that you are the Am HaNifchar. You're the chosen nation. And they have higher demands of you. And you have to recognize. And indeed, they'll say this, and there's an answer. But forget about the technicalities, the technical, the shakl v'tari, the give and take, the legalities. The essence of what this first Rashi is telling us is that Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNifchar, and Hashem and the world demands from us more, demands from us better. And that is perhaps one of the most important lessons. That is one of the most important lessons we can derive from the first Rashi in the Torah. Hashem demands from us more. And we should never put our guard down.
All I see is that the guy got a complaint. Hashem says, it's my world, I'm running it the way I want.
Why do they have a complaint? They do the same thing much, exactly. Much worse.
So the Jews have done it too. Yeshua captured it. It wasn't exactly that it was a walking.
Forget about the answer. Why do they even have the question? Forget about the answer. Why do they even have a right to pose such a question? Listen, they've done whatever they're accusing us of, they've done 10 times worse. We took over a little teeny country the size of Rhode Island, and they conquered the whole America. I mean, they conquered the whole Europe. What? That's the answer. That's the answer. I'm not up to the answer yet. I'm up to the question. What right do they have to even ask the question? They're guilty of the same problem.
Yeah, but my point is the double standard isn't meant as a compliment. It's meant as a.
That's right. It's not meant as a compliment. But the silver lining in the harsh criticism of the Umar Sa'olam is a recognition. Is they demand more from us. And they're not satisfied. And they're not satisfied with the answer. That is a given. They're not satisfied with the answer. Of course not satisfied with the answer. But let's just deal with the question. What kind of question? Obviously the answer is, they're hypocrites. And that's the sibling. Zidur is, that's right, that's right, the hypocrites. And when you hate someone, you're blind to your own, to being a hypocrite. Halacha b'yodeinu Esav soina Yaakov, they're much worse than us, and they don't care. Okay, that's the simple answer. But it's much deeper than that. Even if they can come to a true realization that they are listed much worse than we are, but they still ask the question. And the reason why they ask the question is because they have an appreciation, they have an awareness, is that Klal Yisrael, they're different. They're on a higher level. They're the Am HaNifcha. And if the Goyim recognize this, don't you think we should recognize this? Don't you think we should be aware that indeed we are different, we are special, and there's more that is expected to offer from us? And when you begin to learn the Torah, it's not just, okay, this is just a history book, it's just a book of instructions, it's just torts and laws and civil duties. No, we are a special people, and there's a lot more expected from us. And look at the Goyim. The Goyim, they can do the worst things, but they say, you also do this? How could that be? Okay, then you go into the question and answer. You're right, Mr. Rapport. Then you can go and dwell into the hatred. It's all there. Everything is there. But this element is also there, and it's very important. It's very important to approach the beginning of the Torah with the awareness that indeed we are special, we are great, we are Hashem's chosen nation, and more is demanded of us. If you don't have that attitude when you begin the first pasuk in the Torah, you are in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Because then the whole Torah is not going to have any meaning to you. It's just going to be just a newspaper, just some course in college. If you go into the Torah with the recognition what is unique about Klal Yisrael, what is special about Klal Yisrael, then it's a whole different Torah. And the Rashi is alluding to that in his very first words. Enough said. Next idea. What do the Umos Olam say to us? Listem atem. Now the question, let me ask you a simple question. If a person is a robber, is a ganav, let's talk about property. A squatter comes into someone's home and just takes over. Is the home now the property of the squatter? Does it become his? Now the police come and they say, get out. They say, what do you mean get out? It's mine. I've taken possession. The original owner is no longer the balabayas. I am the balabayas. And if you want to go take it away from me, we'll go to court. And the court will have to take it away from me and give it back to the original owner. Is that the legal? Is that the technical? That's ridiculous. It's not yours. If you are occupying territory, you're not the owner. You're not the owner of the territory. A robber, what does it mean to list him? List him, it means you're an occupier. That's exactly, they really got it right. What is when the Goyim, when the Palestinians, when the Arabs, they say about Klal Yisrael, you're occupiers. What do they mean? It's not yours. We don't have to go to court and go through any legalities to release the title, give the title, the reins, the keys, to give it, release it, and give it to us. Nothing has to be done because you don't belong here to begin with. This is not yours. Get out. And when you get out, nothing has to be transferred. That is, you know, the word occupiers is a very good word for listing. But look at the Rashi is very precise. When Rashi says the response of Klal Yisrael, Rashi doesn't say that we're not listing. Rashi says something very. Rashi says, Hashem created the world. Hashem gave it to you. He gave it to you. And then Rashi says, and then Hashem took it away from you. It's no longer yours. Whose is it? No one's. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not his. No one's. And then Hashem decided, I will now take this property and give it to Klal Yisrael. A robber list him. Group of robbers, they don't go through this process where, oh, we want to steal property. So first, we're going to take it away. We're going to orchestrate a whole technique where the property no longer belongs to this fellow. And the property is Hefker. And then we will come and take legal possession. That's not the way it works with listim. With listim, get lost. We're coming, we're taking over. And when the sheriff comes to town, the sheriff restores order and says to the listim, get lost. You're on occupied territory. There are no legal issues here. We don't need to go to court and have a contract and release the territory and go have a mortgage and have an environmental department come down and analyze the territory if it's safe. Get lost. You don't belong here. This is someone else's property. Look at the words of Rashi. Rashi is saying something very, very profound. Rashi says, the Umo Yisraelim will come and will say to Klal Yisrael, listim atem. This territory belongs to someone else. Klal Yisrael says, we need a Chumash Bereishis to make it clear that, you know something, you're right. Once upon a time, you were the legal owner. But then there came a point in time where Hashem took it away from you. We didn't take it over. Hashem took it away. And then there was a moment of time, there was a period of time, where it was Hashem's property. Just like when the world was created. Bereshis, Boro Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. The Aretz, Hoysa, Sohu V'Vohu. The Ruach Elokim Mirachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim. There is no one. No one. There is no human being. There is no creature that has any legal possession to Hashem's world. The pasuk of the Haaretz Hoysosohu Vavohu V'Ruach Elokim Merachef Al Pnei HaMoyim didn't just happen at the time of Maisa Bereishis. It happened how many years later? When Klal Yisrael, what's the English, the day, I don't even know the date, it's the day when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua. There may have been at that point in time billions of people on this world. I don't know how many numbers of people were living on this world at that point in time. But at that point in time, Nochamo, it was a moment of V'ruach Elokim V'Haaretz, the earth, referring specifically then to Eretz Yisrael, Hoyusa Sohu V'Vohu. V'ruach Elokim Mirachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim. Because at that point in time, Hashem told the Umo Yisraelim, your lease is over. It's now time for you to leave. And now, whose earth is it? V'ruach Elokim Mirachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim once again. And now Hashem says, I'm hereby giving the land to Klal Yisrael. That is why we need Bereishis. We need Chumash Bereishis to show that the Berea, to a degree, repeats itself in this world. It's the response to listim. It's not just, oh, listim, it's Hashem's world. So Hashem said that we can now be the occupiers. That's a very shallow answer. The Umos, say to Klal Yisrael, you're occupiers. So what is the simple answer? That's right. Hashem says that we can be the occupiers. Because it's Hashem's world. He's the boss. No, you don't need a Chumash Bereishis for that. You don't need a Chumash Bereishis. All you have to show is Hashem is the Baal HaBos. He's in charge. You have to go, it's much deeper. You have to show, in the beginning, the earth was the property of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's go back to the very beginning. V'ruach Elokim Mirachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim. Hashem then gave it. But Hashem took it away. And by Hashem taking it away, even without giving it to us, we're no longer listed. The Goyim think we're listed only because he gave it to us. That's not true. Hashem, before he gave it to us, he took it away from you. We didn't come and take over your property. We took over fresh land. That's the message of Bereishis. That's the emphasis of Rashi. Birit Soinoi Nosno Lohem. Uvirit Soinoi Nitla Mehem. And now what? We're back to square one. The Ruach Elokim Mirachefes Al Pnei HaMoyim. The earth is so vavo. And then the Nitno Lanu. Okay, yeah.
Isn't this, although a double edged sword? Because just like Hashem took it away from them and gave it to us, Hashem takes it away from us.
That's right.
Back to them.
That's right.
The Korban Beis HaMikdash.
That's correct. So, and then noch, when we do teshuvah, Hashem takes it away from them and gives it back to us.
So it's all a double-edged sword.
Yes. If we're not doing the Ritzon Shel Makom, but there's always going to be a two-step process. The two-step process is first Hashem takes it away, and then it's back to where we started. The Ruach Elokim and Achefes Al Pnei Hamayim. The Aris is so vavo. There is no balabas, and then Hashem gives to who He wants.
But He takes it away from us.
That's right. If we're not worthy, Hashem takes it away from us, and then He gives it to them. And then when we do teshuvah, Hashem takes it away from them and gives it back to us. But there's always going to be a two-step process where in the middle, it belongs to Hashem. It doesn't go like property, real estate today. It goes from one person to the next person. There is no moment in time when the real estate is owned by nobody. Even the government can own it. Someone got to own it. There's no such thing in the world today where property is ownerless. It doesn't exist. If the government needs to intervene, so they'll take possession for the time being. But it's theirs. They're responsible. They're responsible. And then the government will give to someone else. But it's always going to be owned by an entity, not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the property of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it doesn't just go from one to the next. It always first goes back to Hashem, and then Hashem gives it to who He wants. And if we're not worthy, you are correct. Okay, let's go further. The next third, I want to mention the third point. The third point is Rashi's words are very precise. Rashi says, to whom does Hashem give it to? He gives it to the Nidna Lanu, who He chooses. Now, what is the Rashi's precise words? V'nosna, who bira'ah, He created it. V'nosna la'asher yoshor be'enav. That's a very powerful word. Yoshor be'enav. Someone who is upright in his eyes. It's not a coincidence that Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar. Why is Chumash Bereishis called Sefer HaYoshar? The others are the Yesharim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all called Yesharim in different Pesukim in Tanakh. There's the word Yoshar is associated with each one of the others. And being that Chumash Bereishis deals with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's called Sefer HaYoshar. The whole, who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Eretz Yisrael to? The others. Who are the others? The Yesharim. They're the ones who, Yoshar Be'enav. That is really the opening message of the Torah. The opening message is Hashem created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of His rules is Hashem gives. Hashem created this world to do chesed, to give. But to be a recipient, you have to be a yosher. You have to have yashus. Yashus is a very hard word to define. It encompasses midos tovos. It encompasses emes. It encompasses righteousness. Yosher is a very powerful, I always joke with you, is that I told you that joke where a person came into a rav and he said, I was robbed. A crime was committed. I was the victim. And I'm not walking out of here until justice is served. And he said, I want Yosher. I want Yosher. And he kept on banging on the table. I will not leave until the Rav gets up and restores and corrects what has been wrong. And the Rav says, you want Yosher? You want Yosher? Really? Really? You think you live in a perfect world here? You're going to get what you want. You're a victim and everything's going to work out for you just fine. You want Yosher? My friend, my student, my balabas, I'm sorry to tell you, Yosher is dead. In fact, it's the Rosh Teves of Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabbah. Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Yud is Yud. Vav v'Yiskadash Shemei Shin is Shin Rabbah Resh. When do you say Kaddish? When someone dies. Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabbah. Yosher is dead. You have such expectations in this world. You're living in an idyllic world. Everything's going to work out according to your liking. Boy, you are really you're gonna suffer a very deep depression and disappointment from realizing that in this world, it's not a fair world. Until Mashiach comes, it's not a fair world. The pasuk begins, the Chumash begins, Hashem created a world. The Ramchal tells us, all the Mefarshim tell us, is Hashem created a world to give. Olam chesed yibaneh. Hashem created a world in order he can do chesed with his creatures, with this world. To whom does Hashem want to do chesed? The first Rashi tells us. The first Rashi says to those who are Yesharim. V'nosna la'asher yoshar be'enav. Those that are yoshar in his eyes. And what does that mean? It means people who are erlicha people. The word yosher encompasses so many things. We can't go into a whole analysis. I don't know all the details. But obviously you all know, you've all been brought up, yosher is a word that's on the very top of our vocabulary in regard to defining a person of sparkling midos tovos, integrity, of nobility, dignity. It captures everything. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us in his creation. He created the world to give the world. He wants to give what he's created to man to benefit. But to be a recipient, you gotta be a Yosher. You gotta be like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It's not just about Eretz Yisrael. It's about everything that is found in the Bria. Tzadik v'yashar hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kel emunah v'ein avel, tzadik v'yashar hu, in ha-parasha sazinu. Okay, let's now go to the next thing. Let's go, we'll jump around a few things over here. Next idea. Okay, let's talk about the chait of the murder of Hevel. Cain and Hevel, they inherited the entire world. It's pretty good, huh? Two brothers. The whole world. And even though they have the whole world, they still can't get along. Isn't that amazing? Still can't get along. A whole world, vast world, all the stars, the galaxies, still can't get along. They each offer a carbon to Hashem. Cain brings from, he was a farmer. He inherited all of the produce of the earth. He brings flax. He brings pishtun, it says. He brings some flax, some linen, and he offers that as a gift, a mincha l'Hashem. Hevel, he inherited all of the livestock, the animals. So what does he give as a gift to Hashem? A carbon, an animal. What happens? Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'el minchasa, v'el Kain v'el minchasa, whatever the pasuk is. Loisha. Hashem did not pay attention. Kain is very jealous. He's very jealous that Hashem accepted the carbon of Hevel, did not accept his carbon. So what did Kain do? He murders his brother. And Hashem then says, what happened? Okay, v'chulu, v'chulu, we all know the whole story. The question is, what was he thinking? Why did Cain bring Hashem flax, linen? Hevel brought an animal, life, basar, blood, chelev. This bamoshes there. This epis, this bamoshes. So the crops, maybe fruit, why not bring a delicious piece of bread? Bring fruits, there are bikurim, shiva saninim, flax. What's flax all about? My high, what was he thinking to bring flax? So I have a new sefer, it's called Yad Kohen. It's written by a person whose last name is Deutsch. I don't remember the first name, I was glancing through it, and he says there's something that really blew my mind. When the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim on Yom HaKippurim to do the Avodah, how many garments does he wear? He wears Arba. To the Kodesh HaKodoshim. You don't wear the Shmoyne Begad, you only wear the four. The big day Lavan, the white garments, which are made from what? Linen, flax. Why? The answer is, now this is more of a Kabbalah, which we know nothing about. There's something about linen that is very holy. In fact, it's brought down in these spooky svarim, which we have no understanding of, that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, dies, and in the room where he dies, there are flax seeds. You have seeds, you want to plant linen. If you take those flax seeds and try to plant them, they will not grow. or at least they will not grow to the same degree that they ordinarily have grown had they not have been in an ohel hametz. Flax, for all the different things in this world, again, I told you, I don't know, but there's a pasuk that says this, has a degree of sanctity that we are not familiar with. And the proof to this is, when the Torah tells the Kohen to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim and tells them, do not wear the big day Zav, all it says, big day Kodesh. In the Torah, the big day Lavan are called the big day Kodesh. The eight begodim are not called big day Kodesh because there's wool and there is gold, basically wool and gold. But the big day Lavan, the white garments, which are made entirely from linen / flax, are called in the Torah big day Kodesh. It's a pasuk in Achrenus. Big day Kodesh. Big day Kodesh. The linen garments are called. There's something very sacred about linen. A behema, there is nothing more mundane, more base, more lowly in this world than an animal. There was a fundamental disagreement between Cain and Hevel how to serve Hashem. When you serve Hashem, should you take items of sanctity and present it to Hashem? Or should you take something which is taiva, gaiva, kavod? Animals enjoy a good meal. Animals have no restraints. See, you ever walk in the street, you see a male dog and a female dog, what goes on? They go crazy, they bark, they go meshuggah at each other. Two dogs in the street, cats. There's no restraints by animals. Taiva and kavod. And a kavod, we know kavod is something which is very... You take an animal, which is taiva, and no degree of sanctity, and this is what you give Hashem as an offering? You got to be out of your mind. Cain said to Hevel, you're out of your mind. This is what you offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to offer something to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Kula Ruchni, you offer him holy matters. Hashem is holy. He enjoys holy things. On this world, what is called holy? It says in Parashas Achrimos, Big Day Kodesh Hain. They're Big Day Kodesh. Linen is Kodesh. It's what you use. It's what you use to give. What you use when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not the Kabel Tumah. If there's a dead body next to linen, the linen goes Meshuggah. I can't deal with Tumah, with dead bodies. You destroy it. It can't even grow in the ground. Linen is, if you want to serve Hashem, you bring linen. The kash is not, what was he thinking to bring some shvachal linen? Puntvakert. What was Hevel thinking to bring an animal? But yet, who was right? Hashem said, I want the animal. I don't want the big day Kodesh. Why? Hashem says, Kodesh, in Shemayim, I have unlimited supplies of Kodesh. I have Malachim, Malachi Hashareis, I have the neshamas of tzaddikim. I have it all in Shemayim. I created a world for you to elevate, to sanctify the mundane. There is nothing more mundane, more lowly than an animal in this world. Taiva. I want you to take that behema, which is not just the animal, but it represents the behema in yourself. The mundane element of yourself, elevate it, sanctify it, make it holy. That's a kunz. That's a trick. You give me linen, kodesh. I have enough kodesh in Shemayim. Leave me alone with the kodesh. The koyach is to take a matter of gashmius and elevate it. Vayifen Hashem el hevel v'yelman. Hevel was right. The behema. The Alkaid of Yelman Chosai, not because you're cheap. The Olam translates it, what was Hevel? Why was he punished? Why was Hashem rejected? So you ask a third grader, he'll tell you because Hevel was a cheapskate. Right. Hevel, the cheapest thing you could find lying right. on the floor, right. he didn't want to give up the good fruits, the good products, the cheapest thing. Hashem doesn't need this. Hashem needs more. Hashem has everything. So Hashem spelled Tashchis. I should go give away. You have to give. So you give Hashem. What does he need? He'll give Hashem the smallest thing possible. That's true. That's an answer. But there's a much better answer. The much better answer is that Pumfa Karet, Kayin brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu something of extreme holiness. Because Hashem is holy. But the mistake is, Pumfa Karet, Hashem doesn't need the holiness. Hashem wants us to sanctify the mundane. Let me give you another example. This is an interesting example. It says, the end of the parasha, Hashem says, you know something? The time has come, men will no longer live for 1,000 years. Adam harish naftu l'cheit eitz adas, he's really meant to live forever, whatever that is. And after the l'cheit eitz adas, he was downgraded from forever to live 1,000 years. He gave away 70 years to David. We know that. We know all. But and the person who lived the longest was what? I think it says 969 years. 900. Who's that? Mr. Shalach. 969 years. What happened to the other years? Who knows? Whatever happened, happened. Okay, man was meant to live for 1,000 years. But then the pasuk says, Hashem says, Vayar ki rabba ro'asa adam ki yetzer machshavos rak kol hayoyim. And then Hashem says, 1,000 years, too much. The Hoyu Yama of Meya the Eshrim Shana. And the Pasuk introduces the 120 by telling us, Bishigam hu basar. A man is just a shtick flesh. He's a piece of meat. Bishigam hu basar. Memele the Hoyu Yama of Meya the Eshrim Shana. What does that mean? So in this same sefer, Yadav, in a different context, he says something very, very fascinating. When Hashem created Adam, it says, Vayikach ofar min ho'adama. There is no mention that man is basar. Man is earth. Ofar min ho'adama. Earth. And then what happened? This earth was kneaded with water, and it turned into basar. But the root of man is not basar. The root of man is earth. Later on, at the end of the parasha, it says, you know, even though in the beginning of the parasha I told you that man is ofar min ho'adama, but Hashem says, b'shagam hu basar. It's not just ofar min ho'adama. The ofar min ho'adama turned into basar. What is the difference between earth and basar? Each one has a mila and a chesaron. What's the mila of earth? It never decays. Earth that we step on today is the same earth that the dinosaurs stepped on. It's the same earth. Earth never decays. Earth is earth. But earth is tasteless. You put a piece of clump of earth in your mouth, just spit it out. Mitzat sheni, basar, it's delicious. Especially if you violate every command of your doctor and you put on salt and flavoring and some red meat, you know, you do everything you're not supposed to do. It's delicious. Delicious. But basar decays. It decays. Hashem created man ofar min ho'adama. Man should be just like the offer. Live forever. That's what you are. But offer is boring. It's tasteless. It's disgusting. So Hashem, in the process of the Bria, allowed this offer, min ho'adama, to turn into basar. Delicious. Be a creature which is delicious. Pshutu kemashmoy. Give me nachas ruach. But what's the ikar? Is the ikar the offer or is the basar? If you focus, if you dwell upon the basar too much, you're in trouble. Because basar has dangers. It decays. Why does basar decay? Because basar also represents taiva. With basar, there is a desire, there is kavod, there is kina, a taiva, a kavod. Basar has in it elements that are very dangerous. And that's indeed why those dangerous elements is the reason why it decays. It decays. So therefore Hashem says, but don't forget where you come from. If you come from the Ofar Min Ho'adama, That will keep the basar in check. Checks and balances. What's the ikar? What's the tafel? Originally, man had the ability to put the balance marker towards the afar min ha'adama. Took the maila of the basar, used it to give Hashem nachas ruach. But remember, the ikar is, I'm an afar min ha'adama. Afar min ha'adama, earth never decays. You can live forever. You can live for 1,000 years. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Ki yetzer lev ha'odom rach, rach, kol hayom, what does that mean? Niskadnu hadoros, people were not able to remember to focus that the offer is the ikar. The balance changed. Bishagam hu basar. Man is basar. He's also basar. And unfortunately, basar decays. And when mankind can't focus on the offer, but instead the ikar becomes the basar, okay, basar is delicious, but basar decays. And thus, you can't live 100, you can't live 1,000 years anymore. Your lifespan will have to be severely diminished because the shift has occurred at the end of the parasha where we've gone from offer to basar. Now go back to the verse that I told you before. Now, okay, and that's correct. That's correct. That the end is the person's goal is to go back to his roots. Now let's go one more var. One more var. Now here's all these verses come together. Famous question: why is it that when it comes to Yishmael, it says in the pasuk, when it comes to Yishmael, Hashem, we read on Rosh Hashanah. Even though Hashem knew that v'hu yihye pera adam, yodai ba'kol v'yad kol boy, Hashem says, it's okay. Ba'asher hu sham. Right now, is Yishmael guilty? No. Okay, I'll leave you alone. I know what the future will bring. What can I do? Right now, ba'asher hu sham. Question is, what about a ben soyer umoyer? What did this 13-year-old child do? Did nothing. He stole a few dollars from his father, from his mother, and he bought a piece of meat. He went out to Chapanash, and he had some wine. You're going to kill him? Scandalous. Scandalous. Mamish scandalous. What child didn't go take a few dollars from the drawer and go to Chapanash and go buy some meat and wine? You're going to kill him? Yarda Tyro Lesoif Daitai? He'll stand by the crossroads and be a serial murderer. They'll make a movie about him. Right? Mamela, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud, take him out. So my high. So the Maral says, in honor of Michal, Maral person here, Maral says, what's the chilik between the two? Maral says something that is utterly shocking. It depends who the Bezdin is. If it's the Bezdin Shalmaila, the Bezdin Shalmaila, they don't look at the future. That's not their business. They look at the present. The Ben Soirer Umoyer is executed by the Bezdin Shel Mata. The Bezdin Shel Mata has the power to look Al Shem Soifer. The Bezdin Shel Mila has more power than the Bezdin Shel Mila. This is what it says in the Maral. Question. In this week's parasha, we learn about Chanoich. Chanoich, Vayishale Chanoich Es Elokim. Ve'enenu. He disappeared. Houdini. He disappeared. Why? Ki lokach oisoy Elokim. What does Rashi say?
So we shouldn't see the
decline
of man.
More than that, he should not sin. He was getting to a point where he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bezdin Shalmaila, saw that this man was a tzaddik yisoy olam. If we let him live a little bit more, he might do an avera. He'll do an avera. He'll turn sour. So the Bezdin Shalmaila was dan him al shem soifai. And they said, better we should take him up now. Beam him up right now and don't let him go on any longer. But this is a steer to the Maral. The Maral says that when the Bezdin Shalmaila is the judge, they don't judge al shem soifai. The Bezdin Shalmaila is judges Basher Hu Shom. If Chanoich is a tzaddik now, he stays in this world. Oh, he'll do a sin in the future. It's none of the business of the Bezdin Shalmaila. The Bezdin Shalmata, yes. But there is no Bezdin Shalmata over here operating and judging Chanoch. So Chanoch is a stira, is a question, a bomb question against the morale. My high. So all of these three things come together. What was the problem with Chanoch? The Pasuk says he did an Aveira. He really did an Aveira. This is what it says in the Yad, the name of the called the Yad Koyin. He says, he did an Aveira. Vayishaleich Chanoch es Elohim. Chanoch was another Kayin. Just like Kayin, he brought to Hashem a mincha of flax. Why flax and all the products of the earth? Because flax is Kula Kodesh. Kula Kodesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Kodesh HaKodashim. So what do you bring Hashem? You bring Hashem Kodesh. That's why. Chanoch, unfortunately, at the end of his life, came to that matzif, where Vayishaleich Chanoch es Elokim. He was not involved anymore with the daily activities of this world. Don't bother me with chesed, with giving, collecting money for tzedakah, with learning with boys who need help, with cleaning the bathroom, l'chavod Shabbos, going to the store to do mundane activities. Don't bother me with this.
But he said
he had children. What? There are many. In my Maamar Chazal about Chanoch. We're focusing on one very specific. You're right, but we're on one very specific prat that this mechaber. The Yad is named Yad Koyin. He brings source to this. The Pasuk says, the Yad called the Yad Koyin. Yad Koyin. I'll show you the Sefer. Yad Koyin. Vayishaleich Chanoch es ho'elokim. Chanoch went with Hashem. Meaning, only Hashem. A human being is here in this world to engage in mundane activities and elevate them. You do simple things. A person goes to the Beis Hakisei and you elevate that experience by making a bracha of Asher Yotzar. A person cleans his home in honor of Shabbos. You eat food, you make a bracha. A person is in this world for the behema of this world, not for the flax of this world. Chanoch was another kayon. Chanoch was another kayon. Chanoch was the person who offer min ho'adama and there's no basar altogether. There's only Adama and there is no Basar period. That's not what you're here for in this world. Nemela, the sin was now. It was not a sin al shem soif. There was a sin. The sin was now. Vayishaleich Chanoch es Elokim. This is the sin. Nemela, the einenu. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem didn't want it from Kayin. Hashem doesn't want it from Chanoch. Hashem wants you to focus on the behemoth of this world. You bring a behemoth, but the danger is, when you focus on the behemoth of this world, it's a double-edged sword. If you pulled after the behemoth, it'll take you down. Because the behemoth rots, bosa rots. When we bring a carbon, what do? We combine these two things together. What do you bring as a carbon? What do you bring as a carbon? You bring a behemoth. Where do you put the behemoth? On the Mizbach Adama. The behemoth represents yourself. When you bring a carbon, what are you supposed to say? Oh, Maamar Chazal. I should be the one that should be put to death for my Averois. But Hashem does not want a human sacrifice, so I bring this as my representative, as my replacement. Why an animal? Bring to Hashem flax as your representative. Bring some money. Give some money. Well, what are you giving? What are you giving Hashem a behemoth? That's what you're supposed to give Hashem. You're supposed to give Hashem. You're supposed to elevate in yourself the mundane element of your existence. And if you fail to do so, you don't deserve to live in this world. You bring bidavka because that's how you serve Hashem. But the goal is to remind you is that the ikur of man is not the behemoth. The ikar is the ofar min ho'adama. Man started out as a creature, as ofar min ho'adama. And the goal was keep that your focus. And in the process, you also produce basar. And at the end of this week's parasha, Hashem says, we end the parasha with failure. Man, ki yetzer leif ha'adam, rak ra kol hayoyim. They don't focus on the ofar min ha'adama, but instead, b'shegam hu basar. They focus on the gam, on the trivial element of man, that he's basar, and that becomes the ikar. And if that's the ikar, you have to understand, basar decays. And if basar decays, it's going to take you down. You're not going to be able to live forever for 1,000 years. The most you can live when the ikar is the basar is me'a ve'esrim shana. The ikar avoida is to elevate the basar, to make the basar into adama. The basar goes on the mizbach adama. There's three examples, they're all very similar, they all tie together. Kain and Hevel, flax versus meat. Chanoich, the issue with Chanoich, where Chanoich he offered up by Yisrael Chanoich es Elokim. He was too religious. He was too focused on spirituality. Removed himself from what the purpose of this world is for. That is a chait right now. And that's why the Bezer Shalmaila can judge him at this moment. And a concept of Adam is both. Adam is the Offerman who Adama and is the Basar. The goal is to elevate the Basar, but the recognition is there is a danger. That was the danger of Cain and Hevel don't want to deal. The danger is that Basar can swallow you up and it can take you down the wrong path and you have to keep yourself into control. And unfortunately, the parasha ends and man does not have that ability to protect himself from the danger. And that's why human beings only can live at most 120 years. B'shegam hu basar. The Offerman Adama was not strong enough. Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's wind down another quick vart. Another quick vart.
120 years is for the time of Teshuvah on the...
Okay, let me. Let me try to make one or two very short. There's some really good stuff here. I don't know what to say better. I'd say, let me just start with what this part, one more part, because we're familiar with it from yesterday. Yesterday, I spoke about the idea of Eva, and I told you that Eva is sinas chinam. I call Chazal that mefarnesin aniye. And we describe that Eva, the word Eva, is not the same as sinna. Sinna is a real hatred. Eva is what we call the sinas chinam. It's unjustified. It's a bad feeling. But some want to say pumfakert. The fact that it says in the sixth parasha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he put an Eva between the Isha and the Nochash, Eva is sinna on steroids. It means the most intense hatred in this world. Okay, you'll say divrei chachamim luchod, the divrei Torah luchod. Torah has one expression, Eva means one thing in the Torah, and in Chazal it has a different meaning, maybe they're really related. Eva means the most intense hatred. How do you know that is correct? Now listen to this idea. We have something very fascinating in this parasha. The Nochash was speaking to Chava. There was a conversation. Pasuk says, the Pasuk quotes the Nochash. Why don't you eat from the Eitz Hadas? So Chava says, Hashem told me I can't touch it. Oh, don't worry. When you'll eat it, nothing's going to happen to you. We have over here quotations. Mila the Mila, exactly what the Nochash said to the Isha. The question is, when was the last time you ever heard a snake talk? Snakes do not speak. They do not have the koyach ha-dibor. And if you'll find that there's a koyach ha-dibor, for example, where do we find the koyach ha-dibor? By the osoy, Bilam. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha-osoy. So the pasuk goes and makes a big deal about it. The pasuk says, this is an exception to the world of reality. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha-osoy. The pasuk should say here, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha-nochosh. Doesn't say that. What's going on over here? Okay, you'll give me a lot of answers. There are a lot of answers to this question. Here's a good answer. What is the worst hatred, the worst way to treat a person when you hate them? You can kill them, right? You can torture them. You can obliterate them. You can make fun of them. But we all know the best way to show your contempt I've tried this. It works. And many people have done it on me. They've tried it on me, and it really, 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 really works against me. Okay, not many, but I have my fair share. The silent treatment.
Right?
The silent treatment.
You'll know about the silent treatment.
Silent treatment. A psychologist who's been in the business of Shalom Bayis for 50 years said it when he at his retirement party. He dealt with Shalom Bayis for 50 years. Never, ever in my entire 50-year career did a husband complain to me that his wife does not talk enough. Okay. Think about that. Okay. The silent treatment. What's a silent treatment? A cigar. You're not even worthy to talk to. We all know what the silent treatment is. You just don't acknowledge. You don't validate. The most important thing a person needs in this world is validation. Children, they're dying for validation. Someone should recognize who they are and validate. You know, you're a person. You're a good person. Whatever you have to offer is good. If you do not validate a person, you give them the cold, silent treatment, it doesn't happen overnight. But the hatred, the bad feeling, mushrooms to such an intensity, it can shake up even the strongest person in the world. If you enough times give a person the silent treatment, you can psychologically damage him in a way that you cannot do through the harshest words possible. Because it basically means, I don't hold from you. I don't hold from you. I don't validate you. You're nothing. The silent treatment. So I think it's also not exactly what it says there. It's not what it says there, but I was inspired by what it says there in the Yad Koyein. The MS is, the Nochash was like a human being. The Nochash has a Koyach Adib. It still has. When Hashem created the Nochash, Hashem gave the Nochash a real Koyach Adib. The word is a little bit of a stretch, but hear what I'm saying. There's truth to the word, even though the word really is too much of a stretch, I acknowledge. But the idea is as follows. Hashem, why didn't it say in the pasuk Vayiftach Hashem espiha asay? You know why? Because the Nochash really has the Koyach Adibur. Hashem made man, and Hashem made the Nochash, and the Nochash was an equal to Adam. It had legs, it stood erect, it was a servant. It spoke, for real, for real. It had vocal cords, it had intelligence. It wasn't a human being. It wasn't a human being. But you were able to communicate in Lashon HaKodesh for real. Hashem then cursed the Nachash. Good for nothing. Look what you've done. You destroyed the world. The Eva Oshis Bein Cha Uvein HaIsha. I'm going to inject between you and the Isha hatred. You know what the hatred of the Nachash is? The Nachash gives the Isha, and by extension, mankind, the silent treatment. The Nochash be'emes is a grosser chacham, has a lot what to offer, a lot more than we can ever, ever begin to imagine. And the Nochash, he looks at mankind, I don't hold from you. I don't validate you. The hatred is so great, it just doesn't talk. The reason why we have not heard the Nochash speak is not because the Nochash does not know how to speak. It's because the Nochash hates us so much, he's giving us the ultimate expression of hatred. He's giving us the silent treatment. I remember there was a commercial as a child. The commercial was, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. It was an advertisement for cell phones. Okay, you know, teenagers, Goyish teenagers, Jewish also, teenagers, boyfriend, girlfriend, and they had a fight. So how does the girlfriend take revenge on the boyfriend? This was an advertisement for cell phones. She takes her cell phone, she calls him, and doesn't talk to him. He sees that she's calling, and she's not saying anything. She's giving him the silent treatment. That was the advertisement for the cell phone. The silent treatment. That's exactly what the Nochash, the Eva Oshis, the Eva is the highest level of hatred. And how has it manifested itself? By the Nochash giving mankind the silent treatment. doesn't even bother to talk to us. He's saying to us every single day, I don't hold from you. And when we understand the greatness of the Nachash, of how much the Nachash, what it has to offer, and if we will be able to communicate, we will be able to learn from the Nachash and gain from of this world, it's a real insult. It's a real insult that he does not want to deal with us and share with us his perspective on this world and the purpose of this world. That is the ultimate sinner, the ultimate sinner. Okay, we have to stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.